Say that we're thankful for each of you being here today, especially for the visitors. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we will continue to have cloudy weather. I'm continuing my series of lessons on clouds. In Hosea, the 6th chapter and verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Our subject tonight will be morning cloud goodness. Your goodness is as a morning cloud. And we hope that if you can, you'll be back tonight. We are continuing to emphasize the subject of hope on Sunday mornings. We introduced this a few weeks ago by suggesting that sometimes we may allow ourselves to concentrate so much on what we call doctrine and understanding exactly what we're to believe and things of that nature, that we fail to emphasize what it means to be able to live with assurance. You and I need to be able to go to bed tonight in the peace that passeth understanding. We need to believe that if something were to happen to us today and we're not living anymore here, that we have a promise of heaven, those mansions that we were just singing about. And I think sometimes we do not spend enough time in talking about the hope that we have. We have already talked about hope as associated with faith and love in 1 Corinthians 13:13. We've already talked about how that one hope is associated with the other six ones, the seven of them described in Ephesians 4. We've already talked about the anchor of hope. Hope is the anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6 and verse 19. Today I want us to switch just a little bit and talk about the subject of false hope. It is sad to see a person who is living in the mire of sin and who would even admit that if I were to die, I have no hope. I'm not even thinking about anything beyond this life. It's sad to think about an atheist who doesn't even believe in God and doesn't believe that when he leaves this earth, there's anything after that. But to me, it is even sadder to think about those who are living today and even worshiping today in a false hope. If we were able to take a survey of all the people that live in Jackson and ask one question, if you were to die today, do you believe you would go to heaven? I would guess that at least 90% of the people who live in Jackson, Tennessee would say yes. If we were to even go to a city like New York City, and take a survey there, I think we would be surprised at how high the number of people would be, the percentage of the people who would say, if asked that question, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Those who would say yes. In fact, I saw a report one time that had happened in New York City. A person asked 100 people the question, and it was in the area of 90 out of the 100 that said, yes, I think I would go to heaven. And yet Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Now, if what Jesus said is true, that those who find the way to salvation are few compared to all people, and if it is true that maybe 90% of the people that you and I see on a daily basis believe that they're going to heaven, then the only conclusion is that somewhere there is false hope. I want to suggest to you today some 7 or 8 areas where I believe people have false hope. The first of these is placing their hope upon tradition. All of us are traditional people in many ways. We do many of the things that we do, some right, some wrong, because that's the way we've always done it. Or that's the way that our parents and grandparents have always done that. It seems to me, as I try to look in an honest way at what's happening, that many of the things that are done today religiously are done because of tradition. That's not always bad. In fact, if we were honest with ourselves and we went down the line and listed all the different things that we will do today in worship, we'd be surprised how many of those are tradition. We began at a certain time, that's a tradition. Nothing said in the Bible about when to begin. We will close the service today with a prayer. In fact, I've never been in many services in the church that we didn't close with a prayer. We could close with a song. We could close with the sermon. We could close with the giving. We could close with the Lord's Supper. We traditionally have closed with a prayer, and many times we'll have a song and a prayer. I was present one time when the song leader decided to change things around a little bit, and he said, "We'll have the closing prayer, and after the closing prayer, we'll sing this song and be dismissed." We had some people that were upset because we changed that tradition. Tradition's not necessarily bad. But when we do what we do just because it's tradition, and especially if the tradition contradicts with God's word, then we have a problem. In Matthew 15 and Mark 7, Jesus gave a rather lengthy discussion about tradition. And he said there that the people were pushing their tradition to the extent that they were rejecting the commandments of God. And he said in 15:9 of Matthew and 7:7 of Mark, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You see, that's different from what we were describing a moment ago. We were describing many traditions that we have that do not change the doctrines of God's teaching. But he said, "You've got traditions that change the doctrines, and you are doing what you're doing by tradition." You remember that song about old-time religion? "Give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me." And even today, people will say, "Well, if it was good enough for my relatives of generations gone by, it's good enough for me. We did it that way. We're going to continue to do it that way. And I trust in it, and I have all the hope that I need in it." If we place our hope just in tradition, just because we've always done it that way, we may have false hope. In the second place, we may have false hope if we turn to philosophy for the answer. Basically, that idea is depending upon man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy of vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world." Most universities offer courses in the area of philosophy. I think there was for a time a major at Fried Hardeman in philosophy. It's no longer available. There are courses in philosophy, and it's not wrong to study philosophy. We talk about Plato and others like that, that were outstanding philosophers of the past. We may even quote things that they have said and many men have given us some very excellent ideas that can be used. But if we place our hope in that and that alone, just in the wisdom of men and the wisdom of men alone, we have problems. Paul gave a rather lengthy contrast between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians 1. And he talked how that the Greeks seek after wisdom and the Jews seek after a sign, particularly the Greeks. They were looking at the wisdom of man. He went on to say in that passage, as you remember, that God's chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save people, and that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Wisdom is not bad. It may be helpful. But if we place our hope for eternity just in the wisdom of men, we may be living with false hope. Somewhat associated with that, we have people who place their hope in science. And the problem basically is that they place their hope in the theories of science instead of the facts of science. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, he says, "Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." How many times do we hear people talk about the conflict between science and the Bible? And you look about today, and there are even some religious groups that will have the word science in their title, that they're going to depend upon what can be proven in the test tube, what can be proven in the laboratory. Well, perhaps over 90% of the scientific theories that are presented are never proven to be true. And many of the things today, particularly evolution and ideas associated with that, are giving people a sense of false hope because they're listening to that instead of listening to the creation idea that's in the Bible. But even if you get down to that which has been proven, the scientific facts that have been proven, if we place our hope in that instead of in God, we have false hope. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight, and the real hope that we have is associated with that faith and based upon that faith, which means that there are many things we believe that we have not seen. There are many things that we believe today about God and about Christ that cannot be proven in the laboratory of the science teacher. And if we place our hope in science, and especially science falsely so called, we may have a false hope. But we can also have a false hope by placing it in material things of this earth. We're warned not to love the things, but to love God in passages like 1 John 2:15 through 17. We have a contrast drawn between the temporal things and the permanent things in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things that are temporal or going to pass, but at the things that are eternal, we need to look for the things where we have the foundation and not just the things of this earth. But stop and think even about ourselves, how much faith and trust we put in material things. If I've got enough money to cover everything I need, if I've got enough land to cover everything I need, I've got all the things that I need, then I'm okay. I don't have any worries in the world. There are some people like that. It's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong to use those things to take care of our needs, the needs of those that depend upon us, and to be able to help others. But when we place our trust in things, we become guilty of serving the God of Mammon, Matthew 6, 24, and let the love of money and things be our Savior instead of Jesus Christ himself. And if we place our hope, if we go get ready for bed tonight, and we think, well, I've got everything that I need. And we place our trust in that, we may have false hope. You remember the rich farmer said, soul, be at ease. You've got everything you need. He was placing his hope in the things that he had on this earth instead of in God. And that night God called him a fool. I think there are a lot of people today who have a false hope that is based upon the sense of morality. And I say that to say in another way what we sometimes say, that we believe a good moral man will be saved just because of he's a good moral man. I've had people say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to obey the gospel. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good citizen. I pay my debts. I pay my taxes. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I'm a good moral person, and I believe if I live that kind of life as a good moral person, that God won't let me be lost. Folks, that's a false hope. Now, here again, morality is important. We need all those things that have to do with morality. But if a person thinks that he can make a checklist that I've done this, 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 and this, and I've not done this, 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 and that, and that he can go to heaven because he's been good enough, that would be earning one's salvation, and that's a false hope. Either material things or morality. There's also the false hope that many, many people have in general religion. I'm a religious person. I believe in God. I believe that Christ was his son. I believe the Bible is his word. And so it's not going to make any difference what I do or what I teach that's necessary to become a Christian, or what I teach or what I practice as far as worship is concerned. I'm a religious person, and I believe that because of that, I have hope and I'm going to heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Listen further. Many will say to me in that day, and remember earlier in the lesson I said maybe 90%? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied or taught in thy name? And have we not cast out demons in thy name? And have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Look at all the religious groups that exist today. Could not each one of them pretty well say that, except the casting out of demons was during the miraculous times? Look at all the good things that we're doing. And if you looked at all the religious groups here in Jackson, look at all the good things that are being done. And that's one of the reasons that so many people have this false sense of security, this false hope. Lord, we're doing all these things, but here's what gets the attention. He said, I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity. What? Lord, these are good works. Yes, if they were in the right place. Look, we're doing all these things even in thy name, in many instances trying to give credit to Jesus for it. But he's just said, unless you do the will of the Father, you don't have the hope. It's amazing how many people there are today that are religious and believe that they're headed to heaven, who according to this don't have hope if they have not done what Jesus had said to be a New Testament Christian and to live the Christian life. I also believe that there are those who have false hope who are even members of the church, because they place their hope on spot obedience. Now let me explain what I mean by that. I'm a believer. I repented. I was baptized for the remission of sins. I was saved, and therefore I'm headed to heaven. Well, do you worship God regularly? No. Do you serve people regularly? No. But I was baptized for the remission of sins, and I'm headed to heaven. And I'm not making that up. I've talked to people like that. I remember one particularly, and I've mentioned this from another angle in another sermon. When I was in Tullahoma, a man that, to my knowledge, I had never met before, one morning at a fast food place said, "I'm a member up there where you preach." I said, "You are?" "Yes." I said, "I've been here, I think it was 7 years at the time. I've been here 7 years and I've never said, oh, I don't come, but I'm a member." And I suspect if I had questioned him further and asked him, "If you believe you died today, would you go to heaven?" He said, "Yes, sir. I'm a member up there. I've been baptized." Well, I believe with all of my heart that it's necessary to be a penitent believer and be baptized for the remission of sins. But if one bases his hope for heaven just on that and not living, well, I attend if I'm not tied up with something else. I worship God occasionally. Folks, do we have false hope even in the church? If we are haphazardly going about the Christian life, instead of really being committed to what God has told us to do. And the last point that I want to make is, I think many people have false hope in themselves instead of placing that hope in God. And it's easy for any of us to do this. In fact, all of these things that we've talked about sort of come back to this point. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 3 and verse 23. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's mentioned twice in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. If any man will come after me, take up his cross and follow me, Jesus said. But you remember what's just before that? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Even in the church, even with all of us, if we're not careful, we sort of get to the point, well, I've got all this figured out. I know what I'm doing. I've got all these things put together. I know what I'm doing. I've got the hope. I don't have the hope unless it's in Christ. And if I get to thinking too much of myself and that I know what I'm talking about and I know all these things and I've got all these answers and all these things put together, and because of that I'm okay, instead of in humility and submission, recognizing that I'm totally dependent upon God and Christ, then I may have false hope. Now, I would not belittle Christian living. I would not belittle obedience on the part of any of us. I've got to do that. You've got to do that. But folks, let's be careful that we don't place our hope in our own conclusions instead of in our faith in the conclusions that are drawn in the Word of God. Tradition, philosophy, science, material things, morality, religion in general, spot obedience and then a negligent Christian, or self-esteem to the extent of depending on self, all of these can cause false hope. Hope, which is the anchor of the soul, is because we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of this world. And that's where the hope is. If you have not submitted yourself to becoming a Christian or to living the Christian life,